Autobots, transform!
Well, hey, welcome back to the Transformers Nitpickers Podcast, Joe. I'm Paul.
I'm John.
And today it is episode 43 of Transformers Cybertron. It is Challenge.
This episode was written by Manabu Ishikawa, and the last time on Transformers Cybertron, the Autobots split up and the Decepticons were there to ambush them on ambush. But in this episode, Secret Agent Man and Dum Dum, who are now on Primus, I guess, I don't remember them going there, just narrate what's happening.
Oh, so they're actually there, but you read my first line verbatim. We start with Secret Agent Guy and Dum Dum. But yeah, so they're actually there. I thought they were just watching from Earth. But yeah, either way, they're narrating what's going on because this black hole is growing like a friggin' weed. And all Primus can really do is slow it down. And it shows places all over Earth where the people and the penguins are all looking at this thing. And it's all up to the Autobots and three children to save the universe.
There is a quick shot of Dum Dum and Secret Agent Man standing in that control room on Primus. So
I think that's
where I got that from. But then we cut to Smokescreen and Mudflap. I'm not going to call them crosswise. I've said that. It's Smokescreen and Mudflap, and they're just watching the black hole and wondering how things are going on Jungle Planet.
Yeah, and Mudflap's like, no, I'm glad I'm not on Planet Jungle. It is problem, Musty. But yeah, he's glad he's here and not there. But on Jungle Planet, or whoever this is, the Pteranodon, the guy who isn't
not
Swoop.
Swoop.
Yep, not Swoop. He gets zapped by lightning and starts to fall into lava, but not Rhinox saves him at the last second. I think he even says something like, not today!
Yeah, and then we go to back to Gigantion, and Snarl and Leo Breaker are on some elevator, and Snarl, this made me laugh, Snarl's like, oh no, I sense horrible things on Jungle Planet. And Leo Breaker says, why is that? He says, well, it's where I was made and where I grew up, so I have a connection to the planet. And Leo Breaker goes, I wonder why I don't sense things on Jungle Planet. Because you're not from there, dude.
Yeah, I guess technically you're originally from Cybertron, but even though the planet reformatted it yet. But either way, Snarl's like, well, in this case, just be glad you can't feel it because, oh, it's terrible. Just one of those like mystical things. But well, we go to Ransack and Crumple Zone, who are hiding from the Autobots. And Crumple Zone can't believe they've been reduced to this. We used to be the tough guys on Velocitron. Now look at us. And they think if they got the cyber key, they could become more powerful. And Ransack puts his foot down a bit too hard for emphasis, I guess. And they fall through the floor.
Yeah, they fall through the floor and then start falling through like that projection ceiling we saw in the last episode. I think it was the last episode where they said, oh, it's a bunch of holo projectors or whatever. And so they're falling out of the sky and they land on a highway right in front of Optimus Prime and his team for the first time in this episode.
Yes, because it's going to happen again. But yeah, Optimus, they're like, oh, really? You guys again? And Optimus forms super mode and sends them flying again. Because he did it a few times last time, I thought.
Yeah, I think Optimus kind of gets off on hurting these two. Because he talks a lot
he
about
really
how I'm going to show
about,
you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, then we go to Soundwave and Sideways, who are somewhere searching for something.
Yep, and Soundwave's like, for the last time, man, the thing we're looking for isn't here. They never say what it is, but whatever it is isn't there. And Hotshot... And, well, the Cybertron defense team comes up on them, and Hotshot wants to know what these guys are up to. It's like, well, man, they have as much right to be here as you. Both of you are, yeah, that way. But yeah, the Cybertron defense team comes up on them, and Hotshot wants to know, hey, what are you guys doing here? And Soundwave says something about they're the only two survivors of Planet X. I think it's like, oh, we're caught. We might as well just tell them the whole story.
Yeah, it takes no convincing. They're like, all right, I'll tell you everything, even though they had been playing their cards really close to the chest up until now. But what they explain is, oh, as they explain this, I realize I cannot stand the modulation on this Soundwave's voice. It grates on me like fingernails on a chalkboard.
Plus, he's talking like a DJ the whole time.
Well, no, it's just, it's the, I mean, that's whatever. There's bad dialogue in all these shows, but it's just the grating on Gary Chalk's voice,
oh,
the modulation of it.
The actual effect they put on it, yeah.
It's just, it's like nails on chalkboard. But yeah, they explain that they're the last two survivors, I think, of Planet X, which... I'll be honest, I didn't think was going to come back, but here it is. And apparently, back in the day, Planet X was the technological hub of the universe.
Mm-hmm. But then it started running out of energy, so running out of juice is what Soundwave says. But the inhabitants invaded Gigantion to get some of their juice, and the bots on Gigantion knew they were about to get served, is what Soundwave says. So they used their cyber planet key. Apparently they knew what it was, even though the ones on Velocitron and Beast Planet had no idea what the friggin' things were. They did, and they made their planet and its people into giants with it.
Yeah, straight up to the down low, wiggity wiggity wood. I mean, that was stupid, but honestly, it was it's really, really bad. So because they increased, Gigantian increased their size and therefore strength, the battle comes to a stalemate. So the Planet X inhabitants made a, quote, master blaster by, I don't know, stealing ideas from beyond Thunderdome. And it was so powerful, it blew up Planet X.
Yeah, they lost control of their weapon and destroyed their home planet. And now Sideways tells us he and Soundwave are going to finish what their people started millions of years ago, or whenever it was. And Hotshot's like, man, your people blew up their own planet. It was their own fault. You declared war on Gigantian and you lost.
So Soundwave ejects Laserbeak, who creates a smoke screen, and he blinds the Cybertron defense team. And commercial break?
Yeah, it seemed really early, but I thought so too. And
I think there's three of them in this episode.
Yeah. And when we come back from this one, Hotshot can't see a damn thing. He even turns on his headlights and he says it's as thick as Nebulon pea soup. So that was kind of a nice G1 reference there. And then Sideways, we think it's Sideways anyway, appears in front of Red Alert, who takes a swing at him, but it's just a hologram. And then there are a whole whack of them, and Sideways just keeps like cheap shotting them. Like, I'm the real one. No, I'm the real one. Smash.
Now, Hotshot turning on his brights in smoke. Let me know that Hotshot has never driven in heavy snow. You don't turn your brights on in like heavy mist or snow or shit like that.
No,
but
you
yeah,
do not.
There's a whole bunch of taunting with Sideways. And then Soundwave is like, he's pretending to be Hotshot at one point and Optimus. He's using his voice to throw them off. And I guess he can just like use holograms to make himself look like Hotshot?
Well, yeah, because then Hotshot just starts losing it and shooting in every single direction, and then it goes over to Scattershot, who's just standing there freaking out, like, make it stop or something, and Hotshot's hand appears out of the fog. He's like, yeah, I got the man, come with me, but then so does another Hotshot hand, and they both insist they're the real Hotshot, and oh, here we go. Every show does this. I guess it's just this one's turn.
Well, the dumb thing about this is because the modulation on Soundwave's voice is so obvious, Scattershot should be able to figure out which is the real one. That's like if you heard one John say, hey, Paul, how you doing? And the other one said,
hey, Paul, how you doing?
Then you would know that one of them is fake. But what... what Scattershot does is, like you said, it's that thing, every episode does it. Hey, do you remember the time that we blah, 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 blah? And I kind of zoned out with whatever he was saying because I was like, it's going to be fake. It'll have never happened. And then Soundwave goes, oh, yeah, I remember that. And he says, I got you. It never happened.
Yep. And he just blasts him. And it turns out to have been Laserbeak that he shot. And then Soundwave's behind Laserbeak and he blasts Soundwave. But the Sideways holograms are still here and they basically get him with the old your pocket fell out bit, like Scattershot's like, hey, what's that? Or whichever one of them says, I think it's Red Alert says to him, like, hey, what's that over there? And the real Sideways is like, what? And turns around and like they realize, oh, that's the fake one. And they just kick him in the face.
And then they all open fire. And I guess there's some tower here that falls over on top of the Planet Xers.
Yeah, I just said they drop a building on them, it looks like. And
pretty much.
Now, back with Leo Brecker and Snarl, they managed to bump into Scourge, or he found them. Doesn't really matter. They're all together. And Scourge repeats pretty much everything Lori said to him last time. Like, oh, shame on you, Snarl, for following these Autobots around. And where's Optimus? I want to fight Optimus. You two aren't Optimus. You're not worth my time. And Leo Brecker has heard enough. He challenges Scourge to a duel for the leadership of Jungle Planet.
And commercial break?
This one seemed like more like it was right in the halfway point.
Yes. Yes, but when we come back from this commercial break, Leo Brecker is again scolding Scourge. He's saying the exact same thing he said before we left, for being self-centered and a poor leader, yada, yada, yada. They both transform into their beast modes as they talk a big game whilst doing it, and this fight is pretty good.
Oh, yeah, Leo Brecker pounces, but Scourge catches him in his mouth, like Scourge is in dragon mode now, right? And just tosses him, and Leo Brecker has that line like, oh, cats always land on their feet, as he's flying sideways, and his feet land against the building. And you think, oh, he's going to jump off of that. But then Scourge says the same line, or very close to it, that Megatron did way in the back of the day. He's like, and I'll land on you. Like, oh, do cats land on their feet or do they land under my feet? It was close enough. But yeah, he just smashes Leo Breaker clean through the building.
It kind of reminded me of that scene in the 2007 movie, The Transformers, when Optimus jumps on Megatron. They're flying through that downtown, wherever they are, and they slam through that building. It looks like that. It again, really good fight. And then they start... Scourge starts chasing Leo Breaker across the building tops or rooftops of all these buildings, and eventually Leo Breaker kind of jumps back, comes down, and slams Scourge so hard he just smashes him through the roof of one of these buildings.
Yeah, and Leo Breaker pounces back at him, and Snarl runs to catch up with them, and when the dust settles, they're both back in robot mode, and now Leo Breaker's arm is damaged.
Yeah, and they have this, like, Snarl berates Scourge of like, hey, do you not understand this black hole's gonna destroy everything? And Scourge is like, yes, I'm aware of that. And why the fuck wouldn't he be? You're all aware of the black hole. It's up in the fucking sky. But for some reason, the Autobots are like, what? You're aware of it? A day?
And now we see a vision of some other robot animals on Jungle Planet. I guess this is Scourge thinking about home, and he tells them he intends to save their planet, but he's going to do it his way.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So he's going to walk away, or he's starting to walk away, and then Leo Breaker will not let him leave. And then, they're just kind of doing that. You're a bad leader. And Snarl says, okay, if you're not going to listen to reason, you're going to have to fight both of us.
Yeah, Snarl transforms and uses his cyber key and gets the fangs out and grabs onto Scourge's arm. Scourge just flings him off, which changes Snarl back to robot mode. And then Leo Breaker uses his key and takes a run at Scourge. And this is friggin' awesome. Just stabs him in the chest with his claws. But Scourge doesn't even flinch.
No, he whips the dragon heads over and blasts him with fire, which I thought Leo Breaker was immune to, but whatever, fuck canon, and knocks him back into a building, like punches him into the concrete with this fire blast.
Yeah, like clean across the rooftop into a building, and Snarl runs over to him and he's fine, but then they both take a run at Scourge, who runs back at them, and just before they hit, Snarl says they have to put aside their differences and work together to save Jungle Planet, and for a brief second it looks like Scourge clues in, but then they hit and it's a giant explosion.
Oh, it's massive. There's a couple shots of it, and then you see just rubble, and the camera kind of pans upward, and there's Scourge. It's kind of funny that there's like one column of concrete that survived this whole explosion, and Scourge is standing in the middle of it, but he's like, I won, I think. Commercial break number 3?
Yeah, and when we come back from that, we're with the rescue team, and Leo Breaker and Snarl's signals have disappeared off of Kobe's magic 6-button Genesis controller. He can't contact them. And now back with Optimus's team. They're still driving along, and you've got to be kidding me.
Oh, I know.
Crumple Zone and Ransack.
What the hell was this?
Fall from a hole in the sky again, and it's the same footage as the last time they land.
Exact same animation. And this time,
same bridge.
Yeah. It's same shot, same everything. And like it is just clearly recycled. I don't know what happened here. It feels like somebody fucked up. It doesn't feel like they were lazy. It feels like somebody fucked up. But they stand up and they insist on fighting, and Bud basically mocks them for it.
Yeah, then Kobe calls Bud and asks, hey, are things all right down there? And I guess they notice they stopped or something. And Bud's like, yeah, we're fine. Just these two idiots that keep landing in front of us. And now they're sitting on the road. And I think even at this point, Ransack's like, well, we doing this or what? And then Kobe tells Bud about Leo Breaker and Snarl disappearing.
Yeah, they're going to fix Jetfire and then go look for the two cats. And then Wingding shows up and transforms and talks a whole lot. And then he combines with Optimus and they talk a whole lot. And then they cyber key and then they blast Ransack and Crumple Zone away again.
Yep, back up into the sky again until they come down again, I guess. But then Override comes zooming in at 200 miles an hour, and Lori gets out, and does she have some news for them?
Does she have a cyber planet key?
No. Scourge is going to save his planet his way. All right, since Leo Breaker and Snarl didn't ask him for details, I will. How are you going to do that, Scourge? Yeah, that's what I thought. You know good and damn well the only way to stop the black hole, which is destroying your planet as we speak, is with the four Cyber Planet keys and the Omega Lock. The Autobots already have three of the keys, including the one you gave them, and the lock. The fourth key is right here on this very planet. All you need to do is get to it. The Autobots know not one but four ways to get there, and they brought the other keys and the lock with them so they can stick all this shit together and let it rip as soon as they get the last one. The Autobots did all the heavy lifting. Plus, there are no ancient guardians, no nasty traps, no manually activated automatic defenses to get past, no races, no fighting, no building contests, no secret handshakes, not a goddamn thing. The leader of the planet is personally helping the Autobots to get the thing. The job's 95% done, man. The only thing stopping it now is you. Enough with the delays. You don't need to join the Autobots, but either help or get the fuck out of the way. The clock's ticking, man. Same with Crumple's owner Rantak. Stop falling out of the sky and holding things up. Let the Autobots get the last key and shut the black hole off, and then you idiots can fight in peace and quiet or get back to your wacky hijinks without worrying about...
Here we are at the end of another episode of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show. The episode we just reviewed was Challenge. Paul, what was not challenging to enjoy?
Action, action, action. Leo Breaker Snarl and Scourge fighting. That very well done. Just the scale, like just the force that these guys are hitting each other, knocking them into buildings and everything else. And just the part where Leo Breaker stabs him with his claws and Scourge just kind of looks down at it. It reminded me of something in some movie where the guy reaches down and grabs the sword, like the blade of the sword, and pulls it out of him. Like he cuts his hand all to shit doing it and like looking at the guy at the same time. And the guy's just freaking the hell out. I forget what movie it is. I want to say Rob Roy, but I don't think that's quite it.
In Rob Roy. Yeah, no, he does that. He grabs the rapier in Rob Roy. I kind of almost thought of that scene from the Fellowship of the Ring when that big Uruk-hai grabs, Strider's.
Oh, Boromir.
No, not Boromir. When he's fighting Aragorn and he grabs the sword and like pulls it in closer and then Aragorn cuts his head off.
Oh,
but it was,
okay.
Yeah, it was a really good fight. I think you said it best, the scale of it and the brutality. It worked in that it was three Beastakana bots, whatever the hell they call themselves in this continuity. And they were all hitting big, smashing each other through buildings. Great fight.
And the one that came out on top is the leader of Beast Planet, where all they do is fight. Like, this guy is the boss for a reason.
Yeah, it was really good. There wasn't a whole lot else I liked in this episode. To be honest, there wasn't a whole lot else in this episode. And the not else, or not much else, was just repeated twice. Yeah, pretty good episode, though. It was the Scourge Snarl Leo Breaker fight that made it.
Mm.
The next episode that we're going to make is a review of Scourge. So I guess he does have a plan. We'll find out. He doesn't have a plan. but if you don't have a plan, you can email us and maybe we'll come up with a plan together. You can email us at transformersnitpickers@gmail.com.
Yeah, make sure you rate and review us on your podcast app, whatever it is you listen to us with, and tell all your friends, tell everybody you know.
You can tell them that they can find old episodes of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show at transformersnitpickers.podbean.com. And until the next episode, keep on transforming.
See you later.
Smoke 'em if you got 'em. Rawr, rawr.